Thanks for joining us for another inspiring message from Pastor Derek Dunn, lead pastor of Alive Church, Orange County. To find out more about Alive Church or Pastor Derek, please visit alivechurchoc.org or derekdunn.org. You could also follow us on your favorite social media platform at Alive Church OC or Derek Dunn OC.
This morning, the title of my message is A House of Miracles. Someone say, A House of Miracles. And the house is, the church is called to be a place where healing flows, where we encounter God, where as we encounter the presence of God, that destiny collides with our life. God is a God of miracles. God's a God of healing. The house of God is a place where we can come broken. The house of God is a place where we can come with our emotional trauma. And how many know we all got a story? You know, we all come from dysfunction. I can tell you, I got dysfunction. I got LGBTQ in my family. I got divorce in my family. I got adultery in my family. There's addiction too. Come on, there's alcoholism and all these things that happen. You have your story too. But what happens is we come into the presence of God. Our lives are touched. Our lives are changed. Transformation begins to happen in our life. And that's what the house of God is called to be. That's what the church is called to be. It's a place of miracles. It's a place that we encounter the presence of God. If we're just coming and just receiving information, but there's transformation, that's not called church. You look at the book of Acts, as they came and they worshiped, the house was shaken by the power of God. As they prayed, boldness began to come in their life. As Peter was preaching, the Holy Spirit began to touch people and they were baptized in the Holy Spirit and began to speak with tongues. And that's something that if we see it in most churches today, it's something odd. We can go week to week to week and, you know, we're praying. Well, I pray for you. I hope it, you know, God does something. But there's not the demonstration of power. There's not that release of the forgiveness of God. But Jesus came, and what did he do? He came to open up heaven. He tore the veil so that we could come into the presence of God. And this morning, I want to look at Luke chapter 5 and verse 17. And I want to just pull some things out of this story here. The Bible says it happened on a certain day that as Jesus was teaching, there were Pharisees and the teachers of the law, and they were sitting by. And they were watching those that came from Galilee, Judea, and Jerusalem. What does religion do? It sits by and it watches. It sits by and it's critical. Oh, that worship leader missed her note. Oh, Grace played a wrong chord. I don't think she did, but if she did. And that's all we focus on. Oh, the drummer missed the beat. Oh, and all we do is we're focusing on all of those things, or we're distracted by the lights, or we're looking at our phones, and we call that worship. It's not worship. That's being religious. We're just spectating. We're just watching by. And that's what religion does. It doesn't engage in its heart. And they had all knowledge. They knew the word. They knew the Bible, but they were just critical. But it says the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Whenever we gather, the power of the Lord is present. He said, whenever two or three gather my name, I'm there in the midst of you. That opportunity can happen. It's according to our faith. Anything is possible when Jesus is in the room. Tell your neighbor, anything's possible. But yet, in this environment of religiosity, Jesus was there, but nothing was happening. But something happened. It says in verse, 18, it says, Then behold, the men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up in the housetop and let him down with his bed through the tiling in the midst before Jesus. And when Jesus saw their faith, Jesus said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven." And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemes? Who can forgive but God alone?" But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, because he was discerning, he answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of God has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And immediately, someone say immediately. he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, departed to his own house, glorifying God. And they were all amazed, and they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen strange things today." Father, we just thank you for the wonderful time of praise and worship. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here in this place. Sensitize our hearts to your presence. Sensitize our hearts to your leading. The Holy Spirit, we would allow you to take charge. We allow you to take control. That we allow you to lead us, to guide us, to work in us, to work through us. That the power of God that's present in this place would be made manifest in our lives this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone said, how can we become a house of miracles? Five things I want to pull out of these scriptures this morning. The first thing that we have to do and we need to understand is we come together. Not every time we're gathered, even though Jesus says whether two or three are gathered, I'm there. But how many know sometimes Jesus doesn't feel like he's there? Now, God is everywhere. David said, where can I go from your presence? I can go up to the highest mountain, you're there. I can go to the darkest part of Sheol, the place of the dead, and you're there. But just because God is everywhere doesn't mean his presence is manifested everywhere. And so as we're gathered, what is it that causes his presence to manifest? Number one, we have to understand we have to create an atmosphere where God's presence can move. Jesus was there. But yet, you know, there's times in the Bible says Jesus could do no mighty works among them because of their unbelief, because of their lack of faith. He said, I could do no mighty works among you. Why? Because there wasn't faith. There wasn't expectancy. There's just religion. So Jesus just taught the word to try to build their faith, because faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And many times that's true. We can get into the word to find faith. But Jesus was there, but there was no atmosphere for his presence to move. So if we want an atmosphere where God moves, we've got to create the atmosphere. The Bible says in Luke 5:17, the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Jesus wasn't present to just teach. He wasn't just present to preach. And I love teaching. I love the teaching of the word of God, line upon line. It renews our mind. I love preaching. Preaching begins to move the heart. Teaching begins to give us understanding, and it moves the intellect. We need both. We need our head and our heart to be moved. Come on. Don't just let your heart get above your head. You'll get in trouble. And don't let your head be ahead of your heart also. Then you're going to be divided. We need both. But when the power of God comes through the preaching, the Bible says signs and wonders follow the preaching. So if we're really preaching, God will perform his work. If you preach on healing, people should get healed. If we talk about the devil and how God came to destroy the works of the devil, what's he going to do? He's going to set people free. Come on, we talk about godly marriage. What's he going to do? Start working in marriages. And we have our marriage conference. All stuff comes out. All the glue, all the stuff comes out and stuff below the surface. Why? God's putting his hand on something. Are you here? We talk about family and children. Guess what? All the kids, we start having to learn how to not to spare the rod, because we don't want to spoil the child. Amen? Say amen. That's the Bible. No matter what the crazy woke people say. Are you here? Don't let your child be dictating your life. Your 7-year-old doesn't know what they want or need. Come on. They want to eat cookies and ice cream every day. They can't. They can't decide, well, they want to change their sex. Are you here? We see all this craziness going on. Follow the word of God and we'll be okay. But when we preach the word of God, we're creating an atmosphere where God can move. But we've got to have an atmosphere of expectancy. Someone say expectancy. How do we do that? Through worship and through our praise, as the word came forth this morning. What are we doing? We're creating an atmosphere for God to move. When you sing the song, do you expect it to happen? That's the difference. You are the God that heals me, but we don't expect anyone to get healed. You know, set my feet on solid ground, you know, and then what do? We feel like we're on the sand. We're singing the words, but no expectation, no faith. Worship is not just the warm up for the preaching. The word is important. I love the word, but what are you going to remember when you leave this place? The presence of God that touched your heart. The encounter of God, the miracle that you receive. Come on. If I asked you what I preached 5 weeks ago, you probably don't even remember. Some of y'all analyticals do. You got your notebook. But for most of us, I don't even know what I was doing 5 weeks ago. But what happened? The transformation in our life. That's what stays with us. Can you say amen? In Exodus 33 verse 14, Brandon looked at Ariana and said, I don't remember. Exodus 33 verse 14. What does the Bible say? God says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I don't know about you, but I need the presence. I work really hard. I do 60-hour weeks and sometimes more, and I'm like, you know, I don't have working hours. I just work when I need to work. And I'm up in the morning and going and had some long days. But guess what? God gives me rest. Are you here? Yesterday, I woke up with a scratchy throat and dry and, you know, sinus. And I canceled the Bible school class, postponed it. And I'm like, I got to get healthy, but I got to be able to preach two services. But my throat's a little bit, you know, scratchy this morning. But I got rest. I feel better. I feel rejuvenated. Come on. It's not because of the medicine. Come on. But it's the presence of God. And I just spent time worshiping and staying in his presence. And like, God, I need your presence. I've been in the mission field. I've been sicker than a dog. I mean, it's coming out both ends, not to be gross. Come on. And I'm like, how in the world am I going to preach? And as I begin to come and I begin to worship God, there's a presence. And I've been healed in the midst of preaching. Why? Because God is the strength of our lives. Amen. But we've got to create an atmosphere which has expectancy, an atmosphere of faith. An atmosphere where we're not just saying the words, but we're putting our heart with the words. So many of you pray so many religious prayers. I've been to play, people write out their prayers and they're reading their prayer. Dear God, Lord. And I'm thinking, how in the world do you do that? I don't pray like that. I just kind of pray in the spirit and it just comes out. It's a heartfelt prayer. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I'm not saying we can't write down what God's saying. But it's not a form. Lord God in the heavens, you are higher than the earth and all of the planets and all. Jesus didn't pray prayers like that. He didn't say you will be heard by all of our words and our flowering words. What did Jesus pray? Be healed. Rise up and walk. He prayed, Father, forgive them. His prayers were pretty short and sharp. I like that. It gets too long and maybe if that's your personality, go for it. But it's amazing how we change our personality. Come on, y'all were crazy on Saturday night and Friday night. You get into church and you're so pious. Come on. You're in your bedroom dancing to all your pop songs and you come to church and you can't even lift your hands. Are you here? I know we're talking to 9 o'clock. Come on. But oh, is it genuine? Is it real? I'm the same. People who know me, I'm the same. On the pulpit, outside the pulpit, on the mission field. I hope you like me. If you don't, God does, so it's okay. But we got to be genuine. We got to be real. Our heart is genuine. Our worship is genuine. Who we are is genuine. And that creates an atmosphere. It's not our religiosity, are you here? Acts 10 verse 44, while Peter was speaking these words, he was preaching, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who were hearing the word of God. The Holy Spirit fell. The Holy Spirit's here in this room. Anything can happen. There's expectancy that is there. It's like, what do you want to do? The Holy Spirit fell on the Welsh revival in 1904. And towns were transformed. I told you last week, for those that weren't here, that the police, they had nothing to do because there was no crime. It wasn't all their programs, and we spend billions of dollars on programs and it doesn't do nothing. Wasting money, trying to solve the homeless problem, trying to solve the crime problem, trying to solve the drug problem, and it's just worse. Why? Because all those things can't change the heart. The government's not supposed to do that. It's the work of the church. Come on. To encounter people. Come on. You're looking for love in all the wrong places. Get rid of your sexual addiction and come into a relationship with Jesus. You're looking for your high to escape from life. Well, come and find the Most High God. And it won't destroy your body. It won't kill you. And get the Most High. Which, you know, when they came out of the upper room, everybody thought they were drunk. When's the last time you left church and people went to the store and people thought you were drunk? Went to lunch and people thought, oh my God, these guys are drunk. It's 1:30. And those guys been drinking. That's what happened. Why? Because what happens when a person's drunk? They're full of joy. They're free. Their inhibitions are getting away. That's what they thought. But doesn't the Bible say, he who the Son sets free is free indeed? Come on. Come on. If we have that freedom. And they weren't crazy. They weren't belligerent. But there was such freedom. There was such joy. They thought, all these guys are drunk. But that's the freedom that God brings in our life when we've encountered the presence of God. In the Welsh revival, there was such freedom, such deliverance that the pubs, they start closing down. The taverns were closing down because people didn't need to get spirits. They got the Holy Spirit. Come on. I don't need spirits. I don't need alcohol. People drink alcohol to sleep. They drink alcohol because they're so stressed and say anxiety. Come on, come into the presence of God. Get a dose of Jesus. Get your fix in the presence of God. And that's the best thing. You don't get hungover. Come on, you just keep getting higher and higher. It's the good and not the bad. Come on, it don't give you a headache. It don't put you under. It doesn't give you heart palpitations. Are you here? It gives you peace. And it gives you joy. And that's what the world is. They're looking for women giving themselves to men, trying to get love, and all they get is brokenness and betrayal. And men looking, trying to find identity, like how many women I scored with. That's not your identity. Who told you that? Come on. Identity comes in being a man of God. I have self-control. I can control myself. I'm not given to flesh. I can control myself. That's a real man. All the men said, amen. Come on. We're strong and, you know, we're muscular, but what? We got a bad temper and we break stuff. That ain't cool. Have some self-control, strength under control. That's what the world needs. Real men that have self-control. Bring some masculinity back. Come on. Where we can be strong and women, strong men and strong women. But that's what God does for us in our lives. Amen? We can't just be intellectual. We've got to be engaging God in our hearts. And as we do that, what are we doing? We learn to host the presence of God. We learn to carry the presence of God. Just close your eyes and say, Jesus, I love you. And his presence is there. You're so wonderful. I just love it. I said, I was just weeping just now in worship because I love him so much. We carry his presence of God. We have that. What did Peter and James and John, what they say when they're walking down? They didn't have their wallet. They're on the way to the temple. And there's a man there begging, please give me some money. Please give me some money. They say, silver and gold, I don't have. It's not that they didn't have money. Come on, I don't have my wallet with me either. It's in the car. But what do they have? What I have is the presence, the power of God. I give to you. And whew, that presence went into the body and brought healing and miracles. That's what we need. People say, hey, I'm going through a divorce. My husband's acting crazy. I don't know what to do. I ain't got all the answers. But what I got is peace. His name is Jesus. Peace is a person. And we can pray and bondages come and healing comes and brokenness is restored. In the presence of God. We've got to begin to create the atmosphere. How do we do it? Through our praise, through our worship, through prayer, through our life of service, through our giving. We're bringing our life before God as a living sacrifice. Romans tells us, putting our life on the altar. It's not about dead animals like it was in the Old Testament. It's about us and saying, Jesus, take all of me because you gave me all of you. Come on. And God comes and he begins to fill our heart. What must we do? We must begin to build that atmosphere. We must come and we must begin to create an atmosphere. You can create an atmosphere in your car. How do you do that? Have a worship party. You can create an atmosphere in your bedroom. The Holy Ghost was in my bedroom yesterday. I had church by myself. My wife was out, and I was just me and Jesus. Presence of God was there. Come on, I could have a Holy Ghost party in the shower. I get sermons in the shower. I'm in the shower and doing what I need to do to get ready and praying, oh, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. And all of a sudden, revelation starts coming. I'm like, I wish I had a pen. I got to make sure I don't forget that. And revelation's coming. Come on. It's not about just being in a religious environment. It's about engaging God with our heart. Number two, what do we see here? In order for them to see the miraculous, they had to carry the broken to Jesus. And they determined, no matter what it takes, that I'm willing to do that. In Luke 5 verse 18, it says, behold, the men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed. How many of the paralyzed person couldn't walk? That's what it means to be paralyzed. He couldn't walk. He needed some help. And there are people that are paralyzed with fear, with shame, with addiction around us, with despair. And what are they looking for? Somebody who can carry them and bring them into the presence of Jesus. Somebody we can and bring them and encounter Jesus 7 days a week, wherever we're at, but also bring them and carry them into the house where they can encounter God and grow. And experience life. It wasn't convenient for the men to carry them. They probably wanted to get to the meeting by themselves, but now I got a paralyzed person. How many of you know carrying a paralyzed person is not easy? It can be a very big inconvenience, but they were willing to be inconvenienced. They were willing to have faith. They were willing to have compassion. They were willing to have teamwork. It wasn't just one guy. It was a few of them. Are you here? And that's what true evangelism is about. It's about having compassion on those around us and gathering different ones around us. Say, come on, let's go and let's reach out and let's share the love of God with people. I, you know, went to the gym this week and I was with Samuel and we went and I'm walking in the gym and everybody's like, hey, Samuel. I'm thinking, how do you meet all these people? He's like, well, when we're not together, so we just talk to people. There's people there. They're in the jacuzzi. They're in the sauna. They're in the steam room. Come on, they're working out. And just talk to people and be friendly. Smile. Some of y'all look like it's a revelation. Write it down. And so we met this guy. And so, you know, we brought him and he came for Christmas. We haven't seen him for a while. And we hooked up with him. And, you know, we had lost his number. We got his number. Said, we're going to have coffee this week. Let's connect. The guy's like, oh, I'd love that, man. I've been going through a hard time. I just lost my job. Monday's my last day. And I said, hey, do you have a resume? Send me your resume. I'll send it out to some of our contacts, our connections. It's not what you know, it's who you know. See if we can help you get a job. He's like, you would do that? I'm like, sure, man. Let's do it. He's open. He might not be ready to come to church yet. But what are we doing? We're having compassion. We're starting to carry the person and begin to help them to encounter Jesus. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Amen. Galatians 6 verse 2 says this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Sometimes we're so concerned with our own burdens. You know, I realize I don't really have burdens because everybody I'm dealing with has bigger burdens than me. And I'm not negating the fact that, you know, how many of y'all believe for breakthrough? We're believing for more finances. We're believing for growth. All this stuff. But when I deal with broken people, I realize I don't really have any problems. Are you here? Because their problems are big problems. Their problems are destructive. It's relationships being destroyed. It's addiction. It's their self-worth. Come on, I know I'm a child of God. I know I'm loved by God. I might have some things I'm working on and God's working in me. But come on, that's a lifelong process. Get over it. You're going to be all right. But when you see people, I realize I don't really have that many problems. I got a job. I got several jobs, several streams of income. Are you here? I'm trying to believe in for seven. Because Ecclesiastes says you need to have seven streams. I'll teach on that another time. So create. I'm not really worried about that. I'm not worried about not having dinner tonight. I'm not worried about not having a place to live. I'm not worried about my wife running around with some other man. I'm not worried about my kids are on addiction or they're having identity crisis and all those things. Not that they're perfect, but I'm not worried because God is in my life. But there's people, they don't have God. They're lost. They're like walking around with blinders. And come on, we got to carry them. Romans 15 verse 1 says, we who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak. What's one of the qualities? If you're strong and you're spiritually mature, if you know the word and you know how to pray, you're supposed to be helping somebody. Don't just use, well, I'm a prayer warrior. Well, do you just pray for yourself? Move into intercession where now you're praying on behalf of another person. Pray for your nation. Pray for your workplace. Pray for the people you come in contact with. Pray for the homeless person you drive by every day. And begin to help those that are weak. And when there's those that are weak, none of us as a church should be doing things alone. None of us as a church should feel that we're alone and no one's there for us. We should have support in the community. We're doing life together. Are you here? And we're helping each other. We all have our moments. We all need encouragement. Sometimes I have my moment. Sometimes my wife has her moment. When we both have our moments, we say, let's just stop talking and pray. But we need each other. Turn to your neighbor and say, we need each other. There was a great man named David Wilkerson in the 70s, and he was burdened because he read a magazine article about the gangs in New York City. And he traveled to New York City and began to pray, and he began to evangelize. And he started a great organization called Teen Challenge. Anyone heard of Teen Challenge? Where tens of thousands of people have received freedom in Christ. But he was willing to carry someone to Jesus. We need to be a church that intercedes. We need to be a church that invites. We need to be a church that includes the hurting in what we're doing. Amen? Let's go beyond just carrying people to the feet of Jesus. But let's move to number three. What must we do to be a house of miracles? Number three, we got to tear off the roof. We got to remove every barrier, because there's barriers in people's lives. There's barriers in your life, my life, and thank God I've learned to get rid of the barriers. And when someone tries to put on a barrier on me, I say, no way. I ain't coming back into no barriers. Come on. In Luke 5 verse 19, they went, they carried this man, they're carrying him, and they get to the house, and it's full. There's no room. How many of y'all want to get in? Well, let's just go home and watch online. But they're saying, no, we're here for a miracle. We're here to encounter the presence of God. We didn't come all that way, get this physically challenged person dressed, carry them all through, up the hill, down the hill, through the valley, up here to not get into the house. Come on. And there'll come a time y'all be waiting outside to get in. I've been to churches like that. I went to a church when we were here visiting churches before we went in. And we went and the doors were closed and we got to the church and they're like, who's preaching this week? They said, oh, so-and-so's preaching. It wasn't who they wanted to hear preaching. They went back to their car. I was so provoked. I said, who's preaching this week? Jesus. Come on. I don't care if I'm preaching or Pastor Susan's preaching or Chris is preaching or Amanda or whoever's preaching. Jesus is in the house. And that's what I want. I want you to see me preaching. I want Jesus to show up. You just heard me and you didn't hear Jesus. We didn't have church. Are you here? But you got to remove the barriers. What did they do? It says in verse 19, they went up on the housetop and let him down. We can't get in through the door, but we're going, there's a roof. What did they do? They got right to the front of the church. Come on. They're in the middle of preaching and all of a sudden they look up and the roof opens up and here comes this little man. Right at the feet of Jesus. Come on. How desperate are you for the presence of God? Come on, blind Bartimaeus, they said, oh, keep quiet, just be nice. And he shouted all the more. The woman with the issue of blood, you don't touch a man. You can get your finger cut off under the law. But she reaches out and she said, if I just touch the hem of his garment, if I just get close enough, I don't need him to pray for me. I don't need a distraction. I just want to get in the room. She touches the hem of his garment and healing flows. Jesus said, who touched me? The disciples like, Jesus, you're in the market. Everybody's touching you. But one touching with faith. When you come to church, have you just been to church or did you touch Jesus with your faith? Or are you missing out? Checking your Instagram feed. Watching what's happened on Fox News. Talking to your friend and miss the point of what Jesus was trying to say to you. Come on. We need to remove the barriers. What are the barriers in our lives? Some of us need to go on an Instagram fast. You can't stay off Instagram for 10 seconds. You know, I was at a time when I was doing my sabbatical and I'd been busy ministry for years. And, you know, I've told the story, but I'm riding down the road and I'm looking at my phone and my wife said, "What are you looking at?" I'm like, "Well, I'm checking my email." She said, "Nobody's emailing you." But I was in such a habit, like, got to feel important. Like, what's going on? Got to make sure you're going on. Make sure I don't miss out on anything. It's like you're driving your car. Put your hands on the wheel. Be along for the ride. Come on. Don't miss the exit. I've been driving with people sometimes, and they say, "You're a backseat driver." I said, "Because too many people have missed the exit." Be focused on the road. Come on. And get off. I don't want to have to go around and reroute. That takes a lot of time, a lot of energy and gas. And sometimes you miss the exit. Come on, you're on your way and you miss the exit and you got to go for another 5 miles and make us, you know, I ain't doing that. Let's get off the exit. When Jesus says, "Let's go," let's go. He says, "Turn right," let's turn right. "Turn left," let's turn left. 1 Corinthians 9 verse 22. Paul said, "I become all things to all people that I might by any means I might save some." What does that mean? What do we have to do? You know, people preach and we're pretty chill here and, you know, it's California. But, you know, sometimes I have to wear a robe and preach. They wear their big robes and their big crosses and if that's your thing, praise God. But I don't mind if I got to wear a robe to be able to reach people. I'll wear a robe. I won't wear a dress. Come on. But I'll wear a robe. Are you here? We go to Brazil and it's 90 degrees, like it's hot, humid, right on the equator, and they wear suit and ties to everything. So what do? We wear suit and ties. Adrian was there. Put our tie on. I don't think Adrian had a tie. He had to borrow one. But what do? We preach and we did what we do. And guess what? By the second year we got them delivered, now we can take our ties off. We're still wearing suits, but we can take our tie off. And I'm like, "Y'all are suffering for Jesus. You need to get delivered because it's too hot to be wearing a suit." Amen? But I get it. They're honoring the Lord. But I don't care what where I go. In whatever environment, I'm not stuck to my environment. What I want to do, I want to remove the barriers. Come on. If they need a robe and that's going to, then let's do that. Let's come in and let's come in strategically. And then what? We can get them free. You know, when you're young, you're trying to dress old. When I was young, suit and ties, well, you want people to take you seriously. And then when we get old, we're trying to be young. But you know what I love? About halfway through, I just discovered myself, and I'm just going to be who I am. And come on, I hope you like me, but if you don't, Jesus does. Come on. Isaiah 57, verse 14, it says, build up, prepare the road, remove the obstacles. Remove the obstacles. What's the obstacles that are keeping you from reaching your workplace? What's the obstacles that are keeping you from reaching people in the grocery store? Well, what will they think? Get rid of your pride. I don't care what they think. I want them to think Jesus. I don't know what to say? Well, the Bible says when you don't know what to say, He'll tell you what to say. He'll open your mouth and He'll fill it. Just tell your story. We got to remove the obstacles. Sometimes it means inconveniencing ourselves. One of the greatest churches, fastest growing churches in the world is the Chinese church. We call it the Chinese underground church because legally you can't do church in China. There's only a few, which are the government churches where they authorize. The rest are underground, meaning they're illegal churches. But look at the crowd there. I've been in churches, they're in like sardines, they're so hungry, and you could get arrested, you could get thrown in jail, but they don't care because the Bible says don't forsake the assembly together of the saints. And we want to meet with Jesus. And they see blind eyes open, they see miracles, they see God moving powerfully. The preachers, "Oh, I don't care if I get arrested, I'm just going to start a prison fellowship." And they go into the prison and start preaching and start doing the same thing that they've done. What was the obstacle? They were in prison. I'm not. God, just remove the obstacle. We're all here together. I'm not promoting prison. Don't go there. Amen. But if you're there, what are you going to do? Are you going to cry and get upset with God? Or you're going to be, "Well, let's start a revival. Let's start a fire starter." I've been in the most religious meetings and meetings that are hard in different parts. I've been in places where the sound, the microphone don't even work. You got to hold it a certain way or they can't hear you. and it's cracking and gets, but had moves of God. Why? Because I don't care what obstacle there is. Come on, if it's me and Jesus, we have a majority. And come on, my faith is going to move the atmosphere, even if nobody has faith. Come on. What are they doing? The Chinese underground church, they're tearing off the roof of cultural limitation. They're tearing off the governmental barriers. We all remember back in COVID and they said the church is not essential. And we went online for about a month and we realized, hey, we're not all going to die. This isn't what they said it was. We can, come on, you can go to Costco and Walmart and Ralph's. You can come to church. Are y'all here? Some of y'all are quiet. Y'all didn't even go to church. Come on. Most of us did. And we said the church is essential. So what did we do? We did social distancing. We did all the sanitizing. We still do it today. Your chairs are virus-free. Anybody had a virus at 9 o'clock? It was sprayed during the break. That's why you had to wait a little while. We're still doing those things. You know, and people who want to wear masks, wear masks, and we followed all the CDC guidelines. But guess what? If you can go into a crowded Costco and keep touching the peanut butter in the bread that 50 other people touch, come on, you can come to church and sit with your family and worship God. And we broke that barrier. And some churches closed down and never reopened. But you know, we grew. We grew because we were one of the only churches open. So everybody came to visit us. Some came to visit until their churches reopened. Some came and got spirit filled and got empowered and still are here. We launched our video ministry during that time and raised money when everyone thought they were going to be losing their jobs and what we're broadcasting around the world. Why? Because we broke down the barrier. Come on. Nobody is going to tell us that what the Bible says is not true. And I'm not saying don't obey the law of the land. Don't break the barrier. Come on. When I break the speed barrier, I get a ticket. And thank the officer. Don't call him the devil. The devil's getting me. No, you had a heavy foot. Obey the law of the land. Amen. That was for somebody. I didn't say that at 9 o'clock. Amen. But on the things that are coming against our faith, it's coming against us reaching people. Break the barrier. Break the cultural barrier. They used to tell women you can't preach. And guess what? Amy Semple McPherson, not far from here, built the largest church, started a four-square denomination, had crazy miracles like no one. Prostitutes would come and get healed. All this stuff. There was such power of God. How could people say you're not anointed? Well, you're a woman. You can't be anointed. God said, oh, really? And just put a whole big heap of anointing and oil on her. She wasn't a perfect woman. She wore makeup. In that time, you can't wear makeup and be a woman preacher. She said, any old bar needs some paint. And she was so creative that Charlie Chaplin would come in disguise and sit in her services. All the who's who in Hollywood would come in to sit in her services because she did all these creative services. And they would get creative ideas for their movies and their productions from her church. Built a church in the Depression. You know what she did? She prayed over the land, said this land is holy, and bottled it up, and anyone who gave a donation got some of that holy land. It was dirt. People gave hundreds of thousands of dollars, millions of dollars, because, come on, they were believing in that they were going to go through the Depression. Built an amazing church. Still there today, Los Angeles Dream Center. LA Dream Center, and there's a great ministry there that's there, the Dream Center now, but it's a Los Angeles Temple. Is the name of the temple. And now, you know, there's a great ministry there and they're doing feeding the city. They have a halfway house. They're helping people come back into their dreams and her legacy is continuing because she broke the barriers. Come on, what's the barrier? Get rid of the racial barrier. Let's not, you know, I love our church. We've got so many races and ethnicities in here. There's no racial barrier here. What's the requirement? I don't care if you're black and red or yellow or green. Just be anointed. People ask me, what kind of music do you like, Pastor? I said, anointed. I don't care. You can do your thing. If you want to do gospel, do gospel. If you want to do some reggae, we got some reggae vibes going on sometimes or whatever it is. Just as long as it's anointed. That's what qualifies us. It's not male or female or a race. Come on, get anointed. Get next to Jesus. When Jesus rubs off of you, all I see is Jesus. And Jesus looks beautiful on you. Come on, tell your neighbor, Jesus looks beautiful on you. Amen. We need to be, number four, to have the miraculous. We need to be a place where people find forgiveness and freedom. as they opened the door, broke the barriers, they put him down. What happened? Jesus saw their faith. How do you see faith? You see it in people's eyes. You see it in their posture. Is this faith? What is faith? You're leaning in. You're engaging. Are you here? Is this faith? Come on, can we be real? And we still love you. But guess what? You're not going to encounter Jesus that way. Are you here? Are you more excited about talking to your friends outside in the hall or getting in and worshiping God? Are we more concerned about, I got to get to lunch. We're going to get you to lunch. I'm hungry too. Amen. But is it that are the thing that's more important? Or is it encountering God? Are you here? Is it people coming in that come? We want people to encounter forgiveness and freedom. He saw their faith. And what did he say? Let your sins be forgiven. The greatest miracle is the miracle of salvation. Better than any creative miracle. And I love creative miracles. I love when God moves and I love those kind of things. But the greatest miracle is when someone receives forgiveness and they're no longer under a curse and death and they're now coming alive to relationship with Jesus. That's the greatest miracle. And that's what we should get excited about every week. But come on, how many of y'all are saved? Lift up your hands. Everybody lift up your hand high. Look around the room. We can't get nobody saved because nobody's not saved here today. Are you head? Every head bowed, every eye closed. It's like, we're all saved. We don't need you to get re-saved. Stay saved. Amen. But why is this church not packed out with people that need Jesus? You want to see miracles? You got to bring in the vessels. There was the miracle of oil. And guess what? As long as there were empty vessels, the miracle kept flowing. Come on. How many of y'all sick in your body? Any sick people? We'll pray for you. How many of y'all are not sick? Lift up your hand. Lift up your hand high. You're not sick. Come on, lift up your hands. You're not sick by faith. Come on. Well, guess what? How are we going to pray for you if you're sick? If you're not sick? How is God going to heal somebody who's not sick? How many of y'all brought demons? I'm not going to do that. You shouldn't have. You should get rid of them. But come on. How are we going to have deliverance if we don't bring in those that need deliverance? Are you here? So we need to bring in people so they can find forgiveness. I love casting out devils. I love seeing people get free. But come on, we got to, you know, the church, we should be, you know, in a place where every week we can pray for people. Let's do deliverance outside. Come on. Come in and praise and worship in there. Oh, I feel uncomfortable. Out in Jesus' name. Oh, I feel better now. All right, let's praise God. Are you here? It's normal. Don't be scared of it. We don't need to have, you don't need to vomit in a cup and all that kind of stuff. And that happens sometimes, but I don't look for that. I ain't got time for that. I'm in a hurry. Demon, go now. You have no right to stay. I ain't having any of this acting out stuff. Out now. And let's move on with Jesus. I'm not demon conscious. What do we do? Removing the barriers. But we got to bring freedom in the lives of people. Let's bring the sick. Let's bring the broken. Let's bring those that need Jesus. People wrote to us this week, and Ariana was telling me, someone sent an email and said, you know, I want to come to church, but are y'all LGBTQ acceptance? We're like, we're LGBTQ, LMNOPQ, XYZ acceptant. Whatever you want to add, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. And I'm not trying to be, you know, but like, come. Why, we love you. My job is not here to change you and make you look like me. So we come to church, we all become clones of Pastor Derek. All the men look like Pastor Derek, talk like Pastor Derek, dress like Pastor Derek, and all the women look like Pastor Susan. That's ridiculous. That's weird. We're here to make you like Jesus. And Jesus will work in your life, all your issues, like he works in my life and my issues. That's not my job or anyone else's job. Just fall in love with Jesus. Come to Jesus, and Jesus will deal with your stuff. He'll deal with your mess just like he dealt with my mess, and he'll turn it into a message. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Amen. Isaiah 1 verse 18, it says, though your sins are like scarlet, they'll be white as snow. That's the greatest miracle. We can come out of darkness, out of the curse, and into a relationship with God and receive his righteousness. All things are new. James 5 verse 16 says, confess your sins and pray for another, one another, so you may be healed. The church is a place where we're not just confessing our sins to Jesus, but we can come and, I'm not saying we share our business with the whole church, But what's your struggle? What are the things you're doing? You need some accountability as a man. Get another brother to help you accountable. Confess yourself. Hey, pray for me in this area. I'm trying to break through. As a sister, do the same thing. And we protect that here. Just because you talk to your connect group, it don't mean it's all over church. You walk in the church, there's sister so-and-so. And everybody's like, all your business over church. We don't roll that way. Because love covers. Sometimes even my wife, you know, people come and they act a bit weird on me. I'm like, so-and-so is acting weird. They're like, oh, I met him last week. They told me stuff and they think you probably know. She don't even tell me because I don't need to know. Same thing's true. Are you here? Because we protect. But there needs to be that place where we're praying for one another. We're helping each other to keep go through healing and work out our salvation with fear and trembling, the Bible says. Amen? And that's the amazing grace. It's an empowering grace. Come on. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And I was blind, but now I see. And God's working in my life, and he's working in your life. And guess what? Every year you start looking more like Jesus. And Jesus looks good on you. Amen? John Newton, the famous songwriter of Amazing Grace, he wrote that song because he was a slave trader who got radically saved, repented of the sin of slavery, putting people into slavery. And he began to have a revelation that he was also being set free. And we love that song. We still sing it today. It's a classic that was sung about a man who was able to bring freedom to millions of people. Let's build a house where shame is broken. Let's build a house where condemnation is broken. Let's build a house where grace is abundant. Come on, people can encounter the love of God because they're accepted. God loves you, all the good, the bad, the ugly. Are you here? But he loves you too much to keep you the same. He's more interested in your character than your comfort. But he's nurturing along the way. He's not a hard taskmaster. He doesn't beat us over the head. Are you here? He comes alongside and leads us and guides us because he wants blessing in our life. Just as we do the same as a parent for our children. Come on, he's a good, good father. Amen. What do we learn? We want to have a house of miracles, right? What must we have? Number one, we have to, let's put it up. We have to what? Create an atmosphere where God's presence can move. Number two, we've got to carry the broken to Jesus, no matter what it takes. Thirdly, we've got to what? Tear off the roof. Remove every barrier. Number four, we've got to be a place where people find forgiveness and freedom. And finally, I'd like the musicians to come. Number five, if we want to be a house of miracles, we've got to expect transformation and release people into destiny. That's what the goal of this house is. As you come, it says here in Luke 5:25, immediately he rose up and he went home glorifying God. Not only was he healed, not only was his sins forgiven, but transformation went out and he went out glorifying God. That's what the house is called to be, man. We don't just get healed, we get mobilized. We don't just get equipped. We don't just have a great encounter, but transformation happens in our life. We go back to work with a greater countenance. We go back, I'm going to slay some giants this week. I'm going to lay hold and begin to bring prosperity in the kingdom of God this week. Come on. I'm going to go and get some people saved this week. I'm going to go and find a sick person and work my faith and pride to pray for them. I'm going to go try to sniff out a demon somewhere. To bring freedom to people's lives. See, y'all look at me like I'm crazy. Come on, that's the life of a believer. That's what you get to do. When you get to heaven, you don't get to cast out demons. There's no demons in heaven. When you get to heaven, you don't get to pray for the sick because there's no sickness in heaven. When you get to heaven, you don't get to get anyone saved because everybody's saved. You got to get saved to get there. But come on, here on earth, we get to pray for the sick. We get to preach the gospel. We get to cast out demons. Come on, give the Lord a shout. Amen. The church is a place where we walk into our purpose. As we get set free, as we encounter Jesus, God has a future and a hope, a purpose for every one of us. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, how many of you are in Christ? Guess what? You're a new creation. All things have passed away, all the old, the shame, the old you. Come on. It's on Jesus on the cross. Ephesians 2:10 says, we are his workmanship. Turn your name and say, you are a work of art. Come on, tell somebody, you're a work of art. Brother, you're a work of art. Y'all get nervous like that. Oh, you are a work of art. That's what the Bible says. You're his workmanship. Some of the guys are looking at a girl and say, sweetie, you're a work of art. I ain't, don't be doing that in church. Come on. We are his workmanship, created in Christ for what? Good works. You're created for good works. Amen. I mentioned earlier about David Wilkerson. He impacted New York and started Teen Challenge, and he met a man, his name was Nicky Cruz. He was the gang leader. There's a great book called The Cross and the Switchblade. And this guy was like anger issue, always pulling out his switchblade. And he started discipling him and say, you got to keep your switchblade away. Come on. Can't be pulling out that switchblade. You got to deal with your anger. You got to deal with your brokenness. And Nicky Cruz, because he was discipled, he was a gang leader for the devil, and he became a gang leader, a pastor, and an evangelist for the kingdom of God. Come on. He became a global evangelist that worked with David Wilkerson's ministry and preached to crowds of thousands and tens of thousands and helped to bring people into God's tribe. Are you here? We don't like the word gang, but come on, let's be a gang for Jesus. Come on. Let's have our connect group. We got our Tuesday gang. We got our Sunday 9 a.m. gang. We got our 11 o'clock gang. And some of y'all get nervous, but come on, why should the devil have a gang? Let's come and have our tribe, if you want to call it that. Let's come together. We got each other's back. Come on. You don't mess with them. You mess with them, you're messing with me, devil. And we welcome people in. They're part of the tribe now. They're part of this house now. You don't be messing with them, devil. You keep your hands away from them, devil. Come on. Where they're protecting them, where they're watching over them, where they're keeping the vultures away. Because we're a part of, it's called the family of God. Amen. So let's expect transformation. Come on, I'm tired of people just being in church and year after year still struggling, not breaking through, still struggling with the same sin, still coming for deliverance ministry and getting delivered of the same thing. And sometimes it takes a little while. But come on, let's break through from those things. Let's have transformation that we can go out and set the others free right now. Come on, I once was in that. I once was addicted, but now I'm going to help you get free. I once was bound by alcohol, but come on, I got free, and I'm going to help you get free. Are you here? Come on, let's stand on our feet. In Luke 5, verse 26, the chapter ends with this words. It says this, we have seen strange things today. Someone say strange things.
Strange things.
Why is it strange? Because it was new. Nowadays you see deliverance. Oh, that was strange. That church is a bit strange. But it's not strange. It's all through the Bible. When you see miracles and healing, we prayed and we had people, miracles and things happening. You know, well, that's strange. That shouldn't be strange. It's strange because it's new. But let's let strange be the new normal. Come on, let's be strange, be the new normal. The Bible says God has a peculiar people. Turn to your neighbor and say, you are peculiar. Strange, let's not let it be a negative thing. Come on. In this side, it's the strange. You know, there's that show called The Stranger Things. I didn't really watch it, but it was popular. Let's have stranger things. Let's have miracles that are extraordinary miracles. That handkerchiefs are healing people. Come on, people, shadows are healing people. That's strange. Come on. But come on, that's the new normal, because that's the glory of God. Come on, that's the house of miracles. That's a house of signs and wonders. Come on. Let's not settle for what people say is normal church. You better watch out. You come to church, anything can happen. At any time, in any place, because when the Holy Ghost shows up, whether it's in praise, whether it's in worship, come on, he can even show up in the offering time. We're going to move with God. Come on, let's be a house of miracles where his presence is honored. Come on, where the hurting are coming in and the hurting are being carried, where barriers are being broken. Come on, where sins are being forgiven, and come on, lives are being released into their destiny. Come on, welcome to a live church. This is a house of miracles. Come on, this is the house of God. Where people come to church and they didn't say, oh, wow, there was a nice white preacher. They didn't come to church and say, oh, the children's church was great. Oh, I like the lights. Or, oh, Faith had a pretty dress on this morning. But they come to church and they say, we have seen the power of God. We have come in the house of God, and all things are possible in the house of God. Come on, let's be the church that God begins to use, the church where heaven begins to invade earth. Come on, lift up your hands. We're going to talk to God.